From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, tonight, it is Wednesday night, February 23rd, 2011.
This is show 107. Or shall I say, Sieben, because my daughter is taking German classes and she's way into them. So I'm trying to dig up all of the German that I can remember from 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, which is not much.
See, you're lucky. All I remember was the beginning of that Def Leppard song, and it wasn't even German.
I know, it's like bullshit rock and roll German.
So she's probably a step up, because she may not have ever heard that song and doesn't have to unlearn Untergliebenglaubenglopen.
Yes.
It's probably the bane of German teachers for two dozen years.
I know. They're so mad at Def Leppard.
Yeah.
They're the ones who actually they caused the car accident that gave the drummer one arm.
German?
So mad. Yeah.
German teachers.
Yeah, the German teachers union is really strong, or certainly was back in 1980, whatever.
That adds up, because, you know, their motto is, we have ways of making you crash.
Yes. So what's going on, Mr. Storm?
Well, I've sort of been up and down, kind of moody, I've been a moody cuss. I have been a moody cuss. I have my reasons.
Puss?
What's that?
You got the gloomy puss?
Not gloomy, just moody.
Yeah.
And that's sort of part of why I ended up as Storm in the first place. That's not the Genesis story, but it kind of suited my moodiness as a teenager. And Got a touch of the moodies. But I sat down to make notes. This happens a lot, that I sort of, it shook me out of it. I'm like, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're all like, yeah. When there's stuff happening. And even if there's not stuff happening, there's stuff that you can talk about that could be happening.
That's right.
For example, even though this is podcast number one of
107.
Untergliebenglopen. It's technically, you could say it's not, because we actually recorded another podcast in between the last one that you folks heard and this one here.
Yeah, what we're doing is we're starting to bank some interviews, talking to some folks we know and putting them in the vault, so to speak. So on weeks where we're busy or just can't get to the podcast for some reason, we can still put out some sort of content.
And to deliver more value to you, our loyal listeners.
For your podcast dollar.
And your... Yes.
I was going to say, we know how much you're paying for all of this.
I'm mostly curious to see how we interview people. Like, it's not like a formal interview. It's just sort of this, but a little more focused, I guess.
A little bit.
But we don't even know yet. And
yes.
Who does two-person interviews? We do.
We do.
That's
and nobody else off the top of my head that I can think of. Although I'm sure there are hundreds, if not thousands, who do.
And there could be
Regis and Kathy Lee. They do two-person interviews.
That's true. I guess there are.
And Regis and Kelly. And now Regis is quitting. So whomever and Kelly.
Does this mean that one of us is soon going to be displaced by Regis Philbin?
Or one of us is going to quit to go open up for Regis Philbin on his inevitable live tour.
I do not envy whichever one of us that may be.
Speaking of live tours,
yes,
it was announced in the last day or two that apparently Larry King is going on a honest to God stand-up tour.
Oh my God.
Around the country. Now, if this proves true, if it's not just him standing on a stage like telling stories, but if it's him trying to actually tell jokes, I want a ticket to that so goddamn bad.
I would go just in order to fill up a giant bucket of sad.
Yep. The you only know? Way that could possibly be any better is if he gets Charo to open up for him.
Well, then you're talking. That's a show right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a hell of an evening's entertainment.
But you know what? I bet he's going to draw just fine.
Oh, he'll draw just fine.
And I bet that people will laugh, and it doesn't matter if they're laughing at or laughing with. The thing is, it's the Emperor's new clothes. Like, if you bought a ticket to the show, you're sort of forced to laugh.
Well, that's why I'm going to try and use my famous people powers to score a ticket to that show without having to pay for it, because I don't want to contribute financially to such an endeavor. I just want to go and appreciate it for what I hope will be the exquisite awfulness.
I will bankroll you if you go with a flip camera and pull a David Rees and just entirely fuck with people and get it on film.
I'm not very good at that.
But, I know, but
if you're paying for the ticket, I just might have to do that. Although I'll have to do it at least at intermission or after the show, because I don't want to get booted out by the old people who are scared of me.
I guess it's really the Greg Benson approach, mediocre films. He does that a lot, where he'll go to a con or just out on the street and just has a gift for doing that very straight-faced, deadpan. I believe he is entirely serious when he's, you know, asking you to...
Yeah.
To take out your penis or whatever it is.
He describes it as douchebaggery, which is an apt description of what he does in those situations.
Yes. Yeah, I would say that you're not a douchebag. I mean, Greg's not a douchebag, but as projecting douchebaggery, I would agree that's not your thing.
Yeah. So stay tuned to see if I ever actually go see Larry King live and if I manage to ruin it somehow.
So, I want to talk about this. I mentioned it on Twitter, and I mentioned it right before the podcast, so you know it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
We may have talked about it in general before, but the idea of stuck songs, where the Germans call it an earworm, but they say it in German.
I believe it's pronounced Untergliebenglaufenglauben.
That's correct. That's correct. You were such a good German student.
I was.
Mr. Leopard. And this one in particular has been literally in my head for close to 2 weeks. And it's not an entire song. It's just an 8-bar segment of a song, a specific segment of the Bee Gees song Nights on Broadway, which was a hit for them, but it wasn't like part of the Saturday Night Fever thing, I don't believe. Part of their R&B disco period. And literally, if my mind is at rest, if I'm not focused on something like I am now, or you know, typing or watching TVs,
right? If you're idling,
if my brain is on neutral, it is there and it repeats and it repeats and it repeats. Sometimes it gets to the chorus, sometimes it starts from the beginning of the song, but in general, it's just this little snippet of music that sits between the bridge and the chorus. And I don't know how to get rid of it. And I wouldn't even say it's driving me crazy. It's almost like if you have poison ivy or a really bad mosquito bite, and it feels really good to scratch it.
Yep.
It's almost like my mind doesn't want to let it go.
So it's like a little musical bug bite.
That's exactly what it is.
In your frontal lobe.
I want to know what the German is for that, because that would probably sound really cool.
That would be pretty awesome.
The two basic means of extracting an earworm are to either try to overdose yourself on that very piece of music until you've purged it. I've tried that. It only made things worse. And then distraction song, where you have a song in the pocket that is just as catchy, but you're kind of immune to, sort of. Yeah. You build up your immunity to the iocane powder.
Something to cleanse the palate.
Yeah.
A musical sorbet.
Yep. But I think the problem is actually, I like this little 8-bar bit of music than those other bits of music. Like, I'd rather have this stuck in my head than the others, even though it's pernicious and could be overriding my brain.
I'm sure you're leading to this. What are your usual go-to earworm cleansers?
Honestly, I can't remember them now. I wasn't leading to that.
Oh.
And I really don't have a regular one. One of them, though, is the Bar K's Soul Finger, which is an instrumental. It's kind of
a thing. Yeah, yeah.
And then a song that most of you folks probably don't know, though I think we put it on a podcast at one point, a song by Here Come the Mummies called Damn Good.
Oh, right.
And and Sir Duke, the run of Sir Duke, the verses, basically Sir Duke, like a cow, can be broken up into different parts for consumption.
So you like the chuck roast section of...
Depending on what your mind is hungry for.
Yeah.
Apologies to vegans and vegetarians in the audience, but that's how I view cows.
Just imagine we're talking about leeks or something.
Right, right. Because, you know, you might take the bottom of a leek and compost You might take the top of the leek and compost that.
Yeah, you use, like, the leaves for a stock, and you can put the bulbs in, I don't know, a souffle or something. I don't know what the hell you use leeks for.
Well, actually, I have a
leek souffle. Wow, I'm going to have to see if...
Leek souffle is my favorite right now for the podcast title. We actually have a killer potato leek soup recipe we make where you finish it with blue cheese, Stilton. Yeah.
Leek souffle is also the world's worst stripper name, I think.
I thought you said Gleek Souffle for a second.
Okay, that's the world's worst. Because the only thing that makes it worse is a souffle made out of a small blue cartoon monkey.
But do you have any other suggestions? The thing is, I don't think other people's cleanse songs would necessarily work.
The thing. You have to find the one that flips the right switches in your own brain. We actually had this discussion... a couple of us did on Joko Cruise Crazy, and I think it was Jonathan's wife or his wife's sister, one of them, I believe, said that a really good cleanser for them was By Menin.
That makes sense, because it's short. It's not long enough to actually be stuck for very long. I remember that discussion now.
That one, didn't work for me, but I admire its pluck. There was one we used to use, I don't know if you remember.
I do,
We used to use in the tour van, and I'm going to have to lean away from the microphone for this one. The true Simpsons fans will get this one. There was a cut sequence, the one where Apu loses his job and comes to live with the Simpsons. There was a cut scene that got shown, I think, in a later sort of clip show episode where they showed some lost sections where they're sitting down to watch an Indian musical.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the young female ingenue sings the following. And here's where I lean away from the mic and not just to breathe. Love, 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 love. I'm in love with lovely Johnny. And we used to, I swear to God... We used to sing that in the tour van in the Da Vinci's Notebook days. It was the only thing that would clear out the pipes sometimes.
Yeah, I did cycle that one back in, and the Bee Gees just swatted that away like it was like it was a paper leak.
Paper Leaks. I played bass for the Paper Leaks back in 96.
70s soft rock band, the Paper Leaks.
Yeah.
So we ask you, is there any other way to rid yourself of a stuck song?
Short of an ice pick lodged into the proper section of your, is it parietal lobe? I don't know where the stuck song section of your brain is. Is it near Broca's area?
At this point, I think it's in all the lobes and perhaps in my spine as well. Or failing that, if you are familiar with this and you have your own remedy, what's your cure for the stuck song? What's your anti-stuck song, your cleanser? Mm-hmm. So I mentioned this as well beforehand, and you know where I'm going with this, but I am not an Apple fanboy, right?
I know this.
I'm not a hater either. I'm a hater of fanboys in general, you know, just...
Yes.
So that makes it hard for me to like things that are Apple, because it does.
No, I'm not deriding it. Just it's so you. That's so Samantha to say that.
No, I have a very stubborn contrarian streak.
Yes, you do.
I'm aware of it, and I have been using. We both do a Mac Mini for our sound production. As previously mentioned, the Mac Mini went belly up. But I've been planning to get a MacBook Pro anyway. And tomorrow, the rumor has it that they're actually releasing it. And I don't remember being this excited about a particular technology or buying something in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, I think can probably go back to either when I actually got my Atari 2600 or related to the Atari, getting the Pac-Man cartridge.
Oh, wow.
And if you'll recall, the Pac-Man cartridge was the rumored thing for a long time. Like, Pac-Man had been out for a long time. Atari had been out for a long time.
Yep.
And this is in our, you know, in teenage years, or early teenage years.
This is like 80, I want to say 80?
80, 81.
81?
But a year back then, when you're at that age, is much longer than it is when you're older.
Yep.
Because you've experienced less time. That's my theory. So it had, like Lucy and the football, just constantly been pulled away from me, the Charlie Brown, and you, the Paul Saborin Charlie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt. And finally it came out, and I remember going to Reliable Home Appliances, which always got the Atari stuff before Sears did for some reason. And it was a real event going with my dad to get the cartridge. And it's not important that I was kind of disappointed with the actual game, which looked nothing like Pac-Man.
Yep.
And played next to nothing like Pac-Man. Asteroid mm-hmm. was much more faithful.
Yep.
But I still loved that moment and that anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask you, Paul, and then, of course, we ask you, what was a technology or a thing that you just really were so excited for? The buildup was just so great, and it was just delicious to follow it and to hear rumors about it and all the rest.
The one I can think of off the top of my head, and I had to actually pull it up on Wikipedia while you were talking, this came out in 1978, was Merlin, the electronic wizard.
Wow.
Which, I know, Wayback Machine. For those of you who are younger than us, Merlin the Electronic Wizard, we'll probably have a picture of it on the post. I can already tell this.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be the picture on the website post.
We like the nostalgia.
This red handheld game thing, basically shaped kind of like a phone receiver.
Yeah.
And it had little LED lights on it. And it would play some very simple sort of pattern-based games and tic-tac-toe. And it would play a variation on Simon, you know, the Echo game.
It's really a very fancy calculator.
It was kind of just a fancy calculator with a speaker attached to it.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing the commercials for it, and my brother and I just lost our shit wanting it for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And the waiting was excruciating. And we would have we had some friends who got theirs before Christmas, and it was a hard thing, and it did pay off. Like, at the time, we loved our Merlin,
mm-hmm.
and played the snot out of just about every game. Looking at the wiki, it says there were 6 different games on it.
And wow,
we played pretty much all of them.
Your family was like rich or something.
Well, yeah, we were super way rich, man. We totally got the Merlin.
You were
and,
Merlin.
And we got the Atari 5200. Actually, we didn't get the Atari 5200, but I wanted to.
Sure.
Here's an admission.
Sure.
I don't know if this is going to make me weird or not.
It will, but
It will. I never had a Nintendo or a Super Nintendo game system.
You're not weird, and I'll
tell
you why.
Nor did I ever want one.
I believe that we are, like, our specific age bracket, it's like a 2 or 3 year period where we were saturated with Atari, and we jumped to like Commodore 64 and even Apple computers to some degree. That we, for us, the console system, the Nintendo, didn't hold a lot of appeal. And I'm probably going to get blasted for that, because there are probably a lot of people in our age bracket that liked it.
Yeah, but you and I certainly seem to have, like, the evolution for me was we had our Atari 2600.
Yep.
We played the snot out of that, and we had little handheld games here and there. Mm-hmm. And then that sort of died. There was a rest period between when the Atari 2600 died off.
Yep.
And when Nintendo and Super Nintendo came to take over.
Yep.
And in that rest period, I got my first computer.
Right.
We got a TI-99-4A.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of got into computer things in general there. I was never a supercomputer nerd, but I, you know, we would, write simple little programs to draw a penis on the screen and crap like that.
Sure.
And then from there, we went to college and went to PC gaming. And I was way into things like Wing Commander. Like that's when I was in junior and senior in college, that was when Wing Commander came out. And I just I spent pretty much all of my time, other than the time being in class, playing Wing Commander. And then eventually I never had a true Jones for another console until PlayStation 2, which I bought sort of at the tail end of PS2 popularity.
Yeah, I only rejoined the console thing within the lifespan of this podcast. And I'm curious to know, so we ask you, if we are both 40, if you are within 2 years of that, lower or higher, were you totally all up into the grill of the Nintendos and perhaps the Sega afterwards, or was it just not your thing? And I don't know if there's a way we can do a poll on this to get some real data, like, you know, age and interest, but I don't know if I care that much.
Yeah, I don't. Let's just go with throw comments in the comments section and tell us what your sort of console and or gaming timeline was.
But I'm sticking by the idea that people in our particular age bracket probably didn't hold the appeal because we were already onto computers and were involved with different things with that.
Could be.
Not everyone, but I'm going to say the majority.
Yes, at least two of us. That's for damn sure.
Yes. Speaking of looking forward to things, there is a new thing. It's not a technology, but that I am frothing at the mouth to see happen. But it's probably not going to happen for a long time because these things need to gestate. And there are all these crazy turns that can happen from when they're announced to when they become a reality.
Right.
But our friend John Scalzi, you may already have heard this. His book, Old Man's War, has been optioned to be made into a movie by Paramount.
Yes, and Wolfgang Peterson, I believe.
Yes. Yes. So an excellent pedigree. You can go to John Scalzi's blog where he explains entirely why it's such an awesome matchup and why the deal was done this way. But my point is it's really awesome, too. We know people who have written movies and have had movies produced and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really the first time, not that we're on, the ground floor with John Scalzi, but that we're seeing it from the beginning with a friend.
Yep.
And I'm very excited to sort of see him through this process. Watch how it happens, because, he on his blog, he's just so open about everything that happens, appropriately, of course, and he doesn't give away secrets.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're all going to get a front row view to how a written work goes from like an awesome book that you enjoy into a movie and all the stops in between. So that is something that I am looking forward to.
Yeah. Another thing that I am looking forward to, speaking of teasing the audience, we should, by the time of next week's podcast, have a Woodstock-related announcement that we can make. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
And it's awesome.
So there's that. There's the other thing. What else we got?
I've got a quickie.
Yeah, throw down a quickie.
Because I have a very sharp and pointed opinion about this, and I got to get it off my chest.
Well, please do.
Plugel has asked, Cheetos, crunchy or puffed? I'll let you answer first.
I do not care for Cheetos in any form, so I abstain.
Ah.
Courteously.
And you're really a plain potato chip guy.
I am a plain and a wavy potato chip. I don't like Doritos. I don't like flavored potato chips.
So that's probably your main hang up with Cheetos then.
Probably, yeah.
It's all about flavor.
I never really cared for the cheese puff.
Yeah. I also do not care for the cheese puff, and therein lies my answer.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Crunchy is the answer. It is the only answer. And I will tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because cheese puffs are for poor people. And I,
okay, elaborate, please.
I don't mean that in an elitist way.
It comes across that way anyway.
And I know it does, which is why I said it that way. In fact, growing up, we were always given the cheese puffs, and we never had Cheetos. We were not poor. Mm-hmm. We were not poor. But it was one of those things that I always perceived as a luxury item, because we always had the store brand cheese puffs.
Yes.
And at the time, I believe Cheetos only came in the little, I liken them to like Fred Flintstone's club. That's the little orange Fred Flintstone clubs, right? That's all Cheetos were, and all they should be.
Mm-hmm.
So I still associate cheese puffs with a poverty that I never actually experienced.
That was your great hardship.
You know, it's my hard
childhood
chip.
Was yep. You were forced to eat the store brand cheese puff.
It was tough growing up in Montgomery Village, Maryland.
I remember that chapter from Angela's Ashes myself.
It's tough, you know. The suburbs are hard. Emily Yu wants us to say things into microphones,
which we have been doing. Dave Hill had asked us to make a bunch of swears, which we haven't done yet. So, poop, butt, hiney, rear.
There you go. And I also wanted, I was intrigued by this this battle that someone has proposed.
Mm-hmm.
It is Darth Vader versus a Dalek. And the battlefield is American Idol tryouts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the problem is it's going to be Darth Vader every time because he can change the inflection of his voice. He has more than a single frequency, shall we say. So I would like to alter the challenge and throw it back at you.
Okay.
And make it a Dalek versus R2-D2 in an American Idol sing-off.
Huh.
Of course, the issue being words... But no variation in tone versus variations in tone, but no words.
Also, too, there's personality. So mm-hmm. I would say R2-D2 because of the charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the Dalek, I would have impeached them because they're too high strung. You know, not necessarily because they couldn't change their inflection.
Uh-huh.
Just too much of a spaz. But I would say that against either of them, that R2-D2 would emerge victorious.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But in the cut reel, where they show the stuff that everybody laughs at, if you're gauging that as winning, it would be the Dalek.
Ah, yeah, that could be. I hadn't thought of that. Good point.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, there you have that. Let's see. Do you have any recommends this week?
No. Well, yeah. I've been absorbed with doing something this week that's had me off the grid a little bit. And writing some things for this thing, and I'm not going to announce any more than that. So I really haven't encountered anything to recommend. Do you?
Not off the top of my head. I could come up with something really quick. I sort of had something and I have forgotten what it was now.
Aww.
So let's say John Scalzi's Old Man's War series.
Oh, yeah, I know we've recommended it before, but you know what? For the occasion, it deserves another read.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm sorry. I remember what it was now. That would be, of course, our dear friend Molly Lewis's song, An Open Letter to Stephen Fry.
Oh, right.
Which, for those of you who don't follow her on the internets, she wrote a great song. The gist of which is she would like to offer her services to carry Stephen Fry's baby because being a homosexual, he's not inclined to procreate with a female otherwise. And she thinks that's a shame because she feels like his genes should remain in the gene pool. And she wrote just this wonderful, beautiful, smart song, a funny song about that. And this very week, Stephen Fry was being honored by, I believe it was the Harvard Secular Society, or a secular society at Harvard University.
It was certainly Harvard.
Yeah. And they invited her to come and sing that song to and for him in front of a packed audience honoring him, which she did. And it was apparently an awesome and overwhelming experience. And the word on the street, which she confirmed to me via text earlier today, is after she sang the song, he came over and kissed her on the head, at which point she discovered that he smells wonderful. Smells like musk and fresh baked sugar cookies.
Oh, that's exactly how I was hoping he would smell.
Yeah. So there's that. And you can find that song. You can search for it on the YouTubes. It's also on her website, which I believe is sweetafton23.com.
I'd actually like to apologize to them both. I did a little, for the occasion, a mashup of the two of them. Someone had said, hey, you know, should do, go ahead and, what would their kid look like?
Do like the Conan O'Brien If They Made It thing, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did, but I didn't have a lot of time. And I felt fortunate that I found two photos that aligned well enough in their angles that mm-hmm. I could do it. But I created a monster.
You most certainly did.
And neither of them deserved that, because I firmly believe that if they did actually carry out what Molly sings in her song, that the child would be beautiful on the inside and the outside. And so I still feel a little bad about that, but I gotta say, it was pretty entertaining.
I concur.
Okay, then. Last order of business, we are up to 395 minions in the Pollen State Storm. The Pollen stayed because Storm has gone to work with Regis Philbin. Brigade of Minions closing in on the penultimate minion and a new designation for the next 50 That's minions.
Right. We don't know what it'll be. We don't come up with it until it is required, usually.
Be anything. It can be, you know, Dougal Dangle. We don't know, it but could, probably not.
See, and that's the thing. Like, you could get yourself in now to the Big Block Dandies, which is the current designation, because the next one might suck. Like, you might hate the next one. Or it might be awesome. There's no way of knowing.
And certainly, it's your best chance to become the penultimate minion for your particular regiment.
And all the rights and privileges that that entails, which basically means having your picture labeled with... Penultimate minion,
which is pretty cool. So go to pollenstorm.com to find out all about that and so many other things.
Yes. Speaking of going to pollenstorm.com, it is worth once again mentioning our upcoming shows. Of course, we're going to be at PAX in a couple of weeks in Boston. We're very much looking forward to that because it's always fun. And I have to bring up our website right now because I cannot read my calendar on the wall from here, because I neglected to put my glasses on. So I will click here for full schedule, just like the website tells me to let you know that on March 23rd and 25th, we are doing two shows with Hank Green and Mike Furman, shows that we are calling Nerds and Music, which are going to be awesome. The 23rd, we're going to be in Seattle at the Triple Door, and the 25th, we're going to be at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Those are two of our favoritest venues to perform anywhere. They're going to be awesome. Go get tickets because we are hoping/expecting they're going to sell out. Then on the 29th of March, we're going to be at Largo in Los Angeles for an evening we are entitling Will Wheaton versus Paul and Storm. I bet you can guess who the other performer that evening will be. There will also be special guests, which we're not quite ready to announce yet, but there will be at least one planned special guest and probably some surprise guests, depending on who shows up that night. And that's what we've got in the short term. We have some shows coming up in May at the Birchmere in Alexandria,
but
Virginia,
that's later.
And yeah, the Ramshead Tavern in Annapolis, Maryland.
That's later. And maybe some stuff before that, maybe some other things we might announce, but that'll probably be next week. And until then, I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we have been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Hodor.
Go do things.
nights on the road.